the Browns are numbered on
assets.
Yep.
You know, it's always been kind of coveted.
The owl.
There it goes. There it goes. No.
Now it's moving.
Yep.
Okay. Welcome to the October 18th, 2023 regular meeting of the Port of Kingston Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair, and please identify yourself by stating your name. If you'd like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the court office at least 1 week prior to the meeting and submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. This is a preliminary agenda, subject to change, subject to approval by the commission. So first, we'll call the meeting to order at 6:30. And stand for the pledge of allegiance.
Yeah.
Through that wall.
Through the wall supply.
Okay. We use our imaginations. It's in Rotary.
Yeah. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so do I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Great. So the first item is public comment. Does anyone have public comment?
Not yet.
Okay. That was the second public comment period.
Just in time. Public comment.
Good evening. So we were just in the public comment period, and if you have a comment that you want to make.
We do have one more public comment session at the end of the meeting, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, we're going to recess to executive session, which we expect to take no more than 20 minutes. The commission will recess per RCW 42.30.110.11. to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency matters relating to agency enforcement actions, or to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency, the governing body, or a member acting in an official capacity is likely to become a party when public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in an adverse legal or financial consequence to the agency. So we're going to go into executive session, be done by 7:05, potentially could be earlier, but that's the max. So
that means you guys have to adjourn out of the room for a little while. Sorry.
We'll hang out and watch the display out there. It's good.
Stop the video.
Check out the library.
Oh, stop the recording.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's muted.
Oh.
Video is off.
It's still going. Hang on. Wait. Oh, it's going. And that's,
I'll wait for this.
That's flashing, but I think it's okay.
Yeah, I think she knows how to do it. But yeah, Marla was up there too, but I think she went away.
Oh, they were in a waiting
room. Ron was,
waiting,
but I don't know if Marla was.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
So do we need to wait for them to come back?
Yeah, we have to wait for them to come back.
I have this going.
Okay. Because Ron's in the waiting room.
Okay. I guess I can pause it again.
Okay.
have two more. Ricky? Did you? Too many cords, what's happening?
We pretty much came out at 7:05, so we...
Did Marla get put in the waiting room too?
Yes.
Okay.
I let her know.
Oh, good.
That we would be, okay, where do we need to go?
Oh, yeah, it should be in there.
Oh, wait, here we go.
There's Marla.
There we go.
Welcome, Marla.
Hi there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I call the regular meeting back to order at 7:10. The next item is our consent agenda, and these matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, then it can be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. The first is to approve the September 27th, 2023 regular meeting minutes. And the second is to approve the September 2023 warrants in the amount of $352,022.88. And EFT payments in the amount of $139,711.97. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move that we approve the consent agenda as written.
I second that.
Any discussion?
Nope.
Okay, so then, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so that leads us then to our action items. The first is to approve Resolution 2023-10-1801 to amend Resolution 10-01-2019 regarding Port Public Records Officer designation. Greg, do you want to say a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the port normally has somebody who's designated the port public records officer. We're actually overdue on this. So Tara was previously appointed as public records officer, PRO. So we'd like to appoint Chris Williams to the position of public records officer.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 2023-10-1801.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great, good job, Chris.
Congratulations.
I know you must be very excited. So Greg, do you want to explain Resolution 2023-10-1802 to amend the 2023 contract with Winslow Architects?
So we've had the contract with Winslow Architects to do the architectural work and kind of basically serve as the lead for the commercial development. Then we also hired them to be the lead on the restroom. We were going to have a restroom that we were originally, you know, we're going to acquire and just buy kind of off-the-shelf restroom. Then it wouldn't meet, we could not confirm that it wouldn't meet code for the county. And so finally we said, okay, we just have to call it a day, let's move forward and hire an architect. Since we had Winslow already on contract, it was we want to integrate in with potentially any development, we hired him to design a restroom. So we're trying to close out the restroom. Our goal would be that the restroom would be on the street and built by the end of the first quarter next year, ideally. I think we can get it done by, you know, fully designed by the end of this, hopefully by Thanksgiving, and so that we get the contract out. Usually after Thanksgiving to Christmas and New Year's, you don't get good responses, so we get it out the first and get it out the door. So what I looked at though was because we moved the site, every time you make a change on these things, they want you to go back and do much more work, and we have to go back for the RCO grant, we have to do cultural resources and a number of different things, right? They may or may not demand that of us, but generally they have, even if it's literally right next door. Hopefully they won't have to, but we wanted to finish out the restroom, so that's why we were adding a little, an additional $15,000 just to close it out completely and have as-bills and ready to go. I don't think we're going to need that full amount, but I didn't want to, I've been piecemealing it and all the way through here and trying to keep them under control. Architects, it's not billable hours, it's just nature of the beast. But I'd like to get $15,000 so we just close that out if we need to and get the restroom built and delivered. And then the other contract, so we went before, we did a pre-app meeting with Kitsap County. We do not have their report back, but there's probably going to be a number of different issues that come out of that. I didn't get a warm, fuzzy feeling out of the pre-app meeting. Wenslow, they said, oh, that we thought it went pretty well, Sean Parker and Charlie. I didn't think it went well. So I don't do a lot of development, obviously, in Kitsap County. But when we looked at it, we said, okay, we're because we know that the code is probably changing, they're going to probably change the height limits. We said, hey, we wanted to have some additional work done on the building so that if we do go out, we already have all the construction estimates, have a full marketing plan ready to go for that effort. So we're asking for an additional $25,000. Hopefully I don't think we'll need that either, but I just wanted to just tie a bow on it and close these contracts out and then start pursuing whether or not, our financing and funding. But we, like I said, we don't, unfortunately, I came out of it with quite a few questions. And we also have a structural and civil, on contract, and we're waiting to get some more information from KPFD and our KPUD, as well as some of the other utilities, and then also to see what really is going to come out of it. We're probably going to have a number of one-on-ones with different county staff. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going to end up with. But I think what we're going to do is it'll probably be myself and Mark Horton will end up doing more of the one-on-ones as opposed to contracting it, because we need hard answers, just to make sure that everything, you want to eliminate as much uncertainty as possible, even think you're going to deliver on the project. So that's what we're hoping to get.
Do you anticipate that there'll be a written report from Wenslow about the pre-app meeting?
Well, I don't know I think they have notes, certainly. We went over the notes, with Mark Horton and I did. Like I said, until we really see from the county staff what their concerns are, it was hard to get pinned down. We think we're good to go on stormwater, for example, right? And they're saying, well, you have to go through this process, and we're not sure that you would be okay for stormwater, but we're actually reducing our parking footprint. It's going to be roof, it's going to be roof, so it's clean water. So we don't, for example, we don't really see that there should be any kind of mitigation required for it. But they kind of was indeterminate, so we thought, well, let's just wait and see what we get, and then we're going to go and we'll talk to them individually to work through these questions. But I want to just get as much done from the architectural end, so if we do market, we have a really good package, and we'll be hiring somebody to actually develop a true marketing package, and we'll go through a real estate broker for that. Mm-hmm. They do a really good job putting together.
Can I just have a question?
Yeah, can you identify yourself?
Yeah, I'm Tammy Bowen.
Mm-hmm.
So the $15,000 for the bathroom was because you had to submit additional paperwork and stuff. Have you moved it somewhere? Where's it going to be?
It's going to be right next door, but over towards the parking.
Next to where the one is currently?
Not where the one is currently. It's going to be adjacent to that, or pretty very close, but adjacent to it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so the money, I just don't understand.
We have a site plan, so if you want, I can send you the site plan so you can see exactly where it's going
to be. But is it to retain the existing architects and people?
So they did a site plan. They did a whole site plan for the commercial development. Right. And so it's really a long-term plan of where they would want the bathroom, where we'd want the stage, potentially. So it's something to evolve it. Ideally, we would like to retain that other building because we don't have a lot of buildings where we could actually utilize that space for all sorts of different retail and commercial opportunities where we just don't have capacity right now. Rather than demo the building, but we do have to segregate the power for all the power for the whole marina and everything goes through that one unit. So it would segregate those two, and then we could build a nice bathroom right next door to it. But it would, it fell within the overall commercial development site planning. They wanted to, you know, we started moving things around. Now, whether we have the money to move the stage or to do other things, I don't know. But since we already know that we're going to be building a new bathroom, it was better just to say, hey, let's locate it here for traffic and for flow and everything. Yeah.
So the money's actually for the building,
not
it?
It is.
Yeah. So this is sort of out of sequence here, but I think because it's on this topic, Aaron?
Yeah, Aaron Powell. Quick question, Greg. It says additional $15K for the bathroom architect. Is that, how much is the total architect for the bathroom?
Probably going to be pretty close, about 45.
45.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because originally we were going with a prefab.
Correct.
And that was not a
We're doing a stick build.
Well, it wasn't going to pass muster with the Kingston design standards.
So now we have to go and build something completely separate.
Correct.
Stick build. Right. Yeah. It has to be stick built.
Okay, so are there any other questions or discussion about this resolution?
No, so I will provide a motion to approve resolution 2023-10-18-07 to, do I have the number right?
Yeah. Two.
Oh. Oh, 10-18-02, yes. Yeah. Resolution to amend the 2023 contract with Wenzel Architects.
I will second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
I don't think I have that in my packet here.
The resolution?
Yes. Yeah, there it is now. It is. I got it.
Okay, so our next item is a discussion item about the 2024 budget. Greg?
Okay. So here's you know, the 2024 draft budget. This is a prelim. There's a number of things that we don't have for data yet, but I'll just walk through the basically the proposed budget and just give you kind of a narrative of things that we do know. So this, the proposed draft budget for 2024, we use a zero-based budget process. So a zero-based budgeting process is a budgeting approach that involves developing a new budget from scratch every time, i.e. that's why you're starting from zero, right? Versus starting with a previous period's budget and adjusting it as needed. Historically, we use the prior year as the baseline for next year. This approach is more difficult, but it forces staff to look at every line item by GL, and our financial analyst, Stacy Hebert, did an excellent job building the model in Excel. I want to thank her for that. And I think it leads to a little bit more robust process overall that a number of the staff have never really been through, like a real much more detailed budgeting process where they take ownership of revenue and expense. So we're trying to get a lot more involvement of the staff throughout the whole organization if possible. So the board is projecting operating revenues of $3.684 million. But we need to revisit both the guest and seasonal mortgage where we're likely to have opportunity to grow revenue and net operating income. Also, we are seeing a prolonged effort by Kitsap Transit to grow ridership through the coming year with a targeted marketing plan. So we're looking, so we're going to look at that as well, which would result in more parking revenue. We need to complete the marina rate survey, and we're waiting for the WPPA compensation survey. So operating expenses come in at about $2.71 million, and net income under this draft version would be around $12,000, which includes depreciation and amortization of nearly $493,000. Total projected cash inflow would be just under $456,000. So revenue is broken down in direct and non-direct revenue. Direct includes operating revenue, and non-direct includes property tax receipts, grants, interest income, and leasehold excise tax. So revenue being broken down in direct and non-direct revenue, permanent mortgage revenue should increase with the rate increases since occupancy has stayed at 100% for many years. Next year's rates reflect an benchmark against the prior year's average rates generated from the data collected for 50-plus marinas, and we use the average rate for each slip size. And again, there we use the previous year's data because we won't have what the rate schedule is for everybody by the time we try to set rates. So they're always lagging a year. So our goal, which was established 4 years ago, was to trail the average rate for the prior year, but keep approaching that, keeping up with the average rate through the market. We do have a wait list that continues to be strong. I can give you the breakdown. I'll give you the breakdown and provide that in a table going forward. But I think we have like a total of 176 best people on the wait list. But again, when you look at wait lists, it can be deceiving if you just look at a number because, for example, we had 24 out of the 252 permanent mortgage slips, or about 10% turnover compared with 4% last year, were pulled from the wait list this year. So we just looked at how many votes got pulled, people got pulled off the wait list. But 10 of these wait list customers did not have a vote. And this is, so when you're trying to assess really demand, it's demand, but it's not real demand. So you have to be careful about looking at the wait list and putting too much, put too much weight on it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're actually viable. Mm-hmm. That's what my point.
So they are on the wait list, but they're just projecting that they're going to get a boat?
Right.
Okay. Yes.
And then they have a certain window that they have to get a boat.
How long is that window for them to get on the list?
How long do they wait on the list? It varies according to each of the slips.
When they're notified.
Yeah.
How long do they have?
That is a process that we need to examine. How does that work exactly?
Is it an indefinite period of time?
No. You have a... Again, I don't really administer to that, but mm-hmm. that's where it's like hard to, how exactly does that process work?
Okay.
Yeah.
Also we draw from BST Associates and Wagoners, and they still continue to indicate there's more demand than supply throughout Puget Sound, and virtually all meat marinas have wait lists, but again, that's only one element. I think that I also get concerned when I look at the overall voting, and the devil's in the details on some things. For some things, there's when you get trailer boats, it's a little bit different situation than when you get boats that want to be in the water, their larger boats, for example. Mm-hmm. There's also very limited covered mortgage. We don't see covered mortgage being built because it's prohibitively expensive throughout the Puget Sound. Des Moines, for example, I think they've abandoned any thought of putting in covered mortgage. Mm-hmm.
And where was that?
Des Moines. They have the rebuild.
Yeah, south, yeah.
Guest mortgage has grown and should remain strong. We continue to build guest mortgage demand from yacht clubs, and we hope to expand and add more Canadian clubs as they become a little bit more aware. I think we're going to implement a little bit more direct sales and additional approaches to market the port. And that will be pursued this coming year. We are concerned about price increases overall and volatility of fuel prices, which affects especially power boaters. We had kind of a prolonged period of pretty high fuel prices, and that definitely cools down demand. Mm-hmm. It is good that we're not too far away from the I-5. I call them I-5-5 with the marinas where they come over from there, but still, it can be very weather dependent during the winter and during the seasonal periods. That's why we kind of been emphasizing seasonal mortgage. I think that fuel prices can definitely have a pretty significant dampening effect. Seasonal mortgage has been growing steadily, and we see this trend continuing, I think, through the next at least two years before I think it could plateau. Seasonal mortgage is also dependent on selling directly to some of the boaters. So we need to increase our efforts in this area, including with boat brokers, increase advertising, maybe pulling customers away from the I-5 corridor, and then pursuing boating clubs and some rentals potentially. Utilities are going to be closely monitored so we can recover these costs. We are developing a program to reduce our water consumption, both because it conserves water, but also because we know we have a fair amount of waste. Real estate lease revenue should stay relatively flat, except for CPI adjustments where applicable. We're going to undergo a market rate study, and we'll re-benchmark our rates for all of the leases and assets, regardless of whether they're up for lease renewal mm-hmm. or not. Mm-hmm. I just think it would be good to benchmark it. So we're hiring a third-party realtor to help us with that.
To appraise, mm-hmm. right, yeah.
Yeah, they'll give us a market rate study for what we should be charging. Property taxes will increase probably 1% or cap due to legislation. Receive the notice from the county assessor. We'll collect about, I think, $235,000 in property taxes. Parking is a little bit challenging to predict. We expect parking revenue to strengthen. It has reached, you know, pre-pandemic levels. And again, Kitsap Transit's kicking off a marketing campaign to increase ridership. But it's hard to exactly predict. So the first year that Kitsap Transit was operating, they had about 175,000 passengers. This year, I think they were at like 90,000. We would project out based on that, they'd be around 120,000 through the end of the year, maybe. So they definitely have increased ridership. I think when I just talked to them, I looked at their statistics, what they were quoting on there, and they looked at the numbers. They said they were up like 30%. But I just look at the raw numbers, because raw numbers for me is a little bit, you know, more meaningful than percentages all the time. I'd rather see, so if we know that we go to 175,000, we know we're going to increase our parking revenue substantially from daily rates. And then also there's an associated monthly subscribers too.
Right.
We're going to change out our parking, how we managed it, and have a different kind of a approach to it. But since we're already implementing a new accounting and marina software, which I think is will help us much more, where there's a lot of upside in parking too, but there's a lot of upside, I think, on the guest mortgage. We've already actually looked at a number of different things we could do to better manage our parking. Whether or not we can partner with the county or with private sector, you know, to manage the parking around the area, that's a little bit of a Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. I know people are pressuring us to do this. I think we probably could if we have like a little different software. Like if you go to municipality, you can see they can use the QR codes, and it's pretty easy to use. Mm-hmm. And that would go towards a little bit more like even hourly parking.
Right.
And I think that's one of the services that some of the businesses in the area are asking us, hey, could you guys change up your parking so that we can have customers that just park on an hourly basis there. But also the problem we have is that some of the data, because we have 2-hour parking, we have to constantly enforce it. We don't have staff out there all the time. We have some gaps in how we manage our parking. We do need to really tighten it up. Mm-hmm. But if you really know who's there and whether or not they're parking all day in your 2-hour parking, or you know if it's being used like even for contractors showing up for somebody, we just have to just more actively manage it and really know what the demand is. So we treat fuel as its own line of business, and prices and costs have been prone to volatility, with prices sometimes hitting record highs. And this has really definitely, like I said, had a dampening effect. Fuel prices have increased sometimes so significantly, the revenues increase, but our cost of goods sold, increase as well. So there's not like necessarily a huge amount of revenue in there. But it's a critical service that we provide to all the power boaters. And if you look around at some of the tough thing is, we don't have a lot of inventory turn. If you look at, the volume of fuel that we move, it's we're not big players. That's just how it is. So you look at some of the other ports, they are really struggling to manage. They're not reinvesting in their fuel. They're not getting enough money back out of it sometimes. And so, like a Brownsville, a lot of people compare us to Brownsville, so it's really hard because our spot price, the price at the rack is so volatile So on any given moment, we could be out of the market in a sense, pretty drastically. Mm-hmm. It's so distinct. When I mean, I'm older, but when I, it used to be like, you had 2 cents of a variation, that was a big deal. It's in the 30, it can just jump
20,
up and
20,
down.
20, 30 cents.
So the problem is, how do you price that? We price ours as a first in, first out. We're going to try to do a fuel survey and see how other people price it so that we hopefully we try to be, you know, be not out of the market. But Paulsbo, they're struggling and they're more of a little bit of a destination place. So, but people compare us to the lowest in the market rate.
Right. In the locale, yeah.
And understandably, I mean, I would too if I was a consumer. So what we try to do is when prices, let's say we buy and we're buying at $5 or a gallon, and prices suddenly drop, the market drops, and we just brought in a truck and trailer load, and we only hold 20,000 gallons, right?
Yeah.
So we drops down. We have to go down after that if everybody's dropping down, or we're going to sit on really expensive inventory and we'll sit on indefinitely. Like we literally just had that happen like this week. So we said, okay, we're going to have to take a hit on that. Otherwise, you're never going to turn your inventory.
Right.
So we need to get anybody to do a lift mm-hmm. like this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we revisited what the price was, and we said, okay, we're just going to have to drop it regardless. That's just the way the market is. You don't necessarily have the same upside elasticity, you know, in terms of pricing. And so it's a challenging market, and some of the public marinas, I don't think that they're even recovering and being able to cover their capital costs. So it's really difficult to justify saying, oh, we look at it as a pure cost center. We got to be able to make some money for reinvestment.
Mm-hmm.
So we just had about $24,000 to $25,000 requirement for pharmacology. We had to reseal on the tanks, right? They just walked in. I don't like that. It wasn't leaking. It was just, we felt it was perfectly fine, but a regular can come in to say that. So there's a change. We're going to get 2 new pumps. Pumps, we can't get parts for those anymore. I could try to ask buddies to try to machine, but some of it was just like, you just can't do that. They got to be certified. So we're going to get 2 new pumps. The installation of that, if I'm not mistaken, Corey, you were talking about those guys. They don't think that we're going to have any kind of hiccups for loss of service. They'll be able to pull the old pumps out, put the new ones in, and we should be up and
running. Pretty quick turnaround.
But then people will be able to be sure they can count on us, because otherwise if they break, we're out of business.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in Brownsville, I think, in part.
Mm-hmm.
So can I just clarify up in the fuel sales, $913,914, and then cost of goods sold, I'm assuming that is primarily fuel?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. turning to expenses, so salaries and wages, the budget reflects a tiered approach to compensation. Cost of living looks to come in around 3.3% is what we're seeing or hearing. We are proposing a 3-tier adjustment between 3 and 6%, depending on where you fall within our overall compensation.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have the WPPA survey, which we usually get every year, and we're collecting data from other ports and agencies. They told me they're going to probably have that pretty quick here, the survey, but we don't have it. And you know, given the aggressive interest rate hikes by the Federal Reserve, you know, that's increased the cost of borrowing for real estate. So just to give you an idea of how this really, you know, just look at cost of living hits out and for employees. 3 years ago, you would need to make $65,000 per year to pay for a median priced home in Kitsap County. And that's assuming half your pay, you know, went to your mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And I just used a 30-year mortgage at the interest rates at that time. And that's not assuming that you got the money for the down. It's just like you're already in the house, you have a 30-year mortgage, half your pay, your take-home pay would go to your mortgage, right? Now with current interest rates, you need to make $115,000. And the median price has increased, but it's really mostly interest rate driven. So neither scenario, you know, includes saving enough for the down payment for a median price home. Not necessarily you're gonna be, you know, you're gonna be entry level coming into a median price home, but I'm saying, and that's about 500 and some thousand. I just look it up on the assessor's data.
Yeah.
So, but overall compensation is based on market data, performance, a goal of retaining staff and investing in them. Staffing turnover is extremely expensive. It's time-consuming, and it's incredibly challenging to backfill with new qualified employees. A competition for qualified staff has become even more difficult, I think, in the public sector. And for early career employees, they're much more interested in income than to mitigate the increased cost of living than they are in a benefit package or anything like that. Plus, we have to compete with private sector. Employee medical. So we have a placeholder, but I don't think it's going to, you know, I talked to them. We don't, usually we have by this time, we have kind of a definitive answer on our medical, but we just put in a 10%, but I don't think it's going to, they don't expect it to hit that at all. But we just wanted to be conservative, so we put a 10% as a placeholder. On the pension expense, pension contribution requirements issued by the state of Washington have varied, they vary from year to year. The individual contribution is 6.3% currently, and employer contributions are 9.53% currently. Put this, so what's happening is that the poor, we pay the 9.53% rate. That is really going towards people that were in the PERS 1 program. Mm-hmm. So the original program, which was, you know, much better than the current program.
Yeah.
But we have to pay all those people off. So once they're, as they get paid off, what you'll find is that they are trying to work, the state's trying to work it so the employee and employer are equal. So we would both be at, let's say, theoretically 6.36%. So what we'll see is that 9.53% that should continue to come down.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Training and education. You know, we're going to look for opportunities to continue to update the staff with both training on the marina management software, which I think will be really important, and then also we're going to be training them on the Sage accounting software. With regards to IT, I think, you know, for the most part, we have what we think our needs are. We've established, you know, redundancy in our network. We have backups to the backups to prevent any kind of threats from cyber, you know, from cyber attacks and that kind of thing. We are going to go, we're going to go through and try to break it in a sense, but we're in the thick of business, but we are going to try to test it and go through and just audit it, and we're working with OESD who helps us do that. But I think we have a pretty robust situation. There were a number of people that had ransomware in the area. We weren't one of them, but we have it set up so we shouldn't have any loss of continuity of operations. We have two systems. Now our network equipment, some of it is getting a little bit old, but we put in another, we have another one. So if we do see that, maybe we're gonna project out when we need to replace that. So we haven't done this, isn't like a multi-year looking ahead, but we are looking at all of this and looking at a life cycle approach to all assets, including all the networks. Utility, so we put a lot of effort into tracking our utility costs, really breaking it out, making sure that we went through the whole process with Kitsap Transit, right?
Yep.
In order to be able to recover those costs.
Yep.
Which we have, and we are. Thank you, Tori. But we're putting in places to ensure that we maximize cost recovery. I think we use a tremendous amount of water, and we know that we're not very efficient with that. We have a kind of an old system, and we're gonna revamp that. Excise taxes. There's no changes expected. Credit card charges. So as interest rates increase from the Fed, so do our interest rates on any of that. So we know we've been paying excessive fees. We have to basically implement part of our program is by implementing the Sage and being able to transition over to like ACHs for the customers.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be paying that. Hopefully it's a savings all the way around for everybody.
For everybody, right.
Because our fees are, I don't want to put words in honors on, they're excessive,
yeah.
And we just have to wean ourselves off of this. It just puts us at the mercy of these. Plus, it's a huge amount of time to get certified, like with GCI. So we believe we can reduce the credit card charges annually, but again, we'll integrate this in with the new accounting marina software, as well as the business processes. Bad debt. So we continue to manage our business. We have minimal, almost no bad debt. And we haven't since day one, I think. I think, I can't remember what we had. We did have to take a little bit. We had it sitting on the books for years, right?
Some cleanup that we did from 2014 forward.
Yeah. But otherwise, it was like, you know, $700 to $800. At the end, we had one bill of like $1,400 bad debt. I mean, we just don't. But I think that's a testimony really to the staff. Cash reserves. So our cash reserves on July 1st, you know, in 2019, they were $831,000. We're currently at $2.73 million. I hope that indicates we take our responsibility as fiduciaries very seriously. And we hope these results instill confidence that we could be reliable stewards. Also looking at the balance sheet, I think it's important to note that we're steadily paying down our debt. We have a loan balance of $668,000, down from $1 million 5 years ago. Kitsap County, they still serve as our treasurer, but we're going to work with them to increase our rate of return on our cash reserves. You know, if we can achieve a 4% return, that equates to $110,000 annually that contributes to our cash reserves. For every point, we earn another $27,500. So if we get 5%, or some people are achieving 5.5%, that would be our goal. But auditors in discussions with Kitsap County Treasurer. So we're currently at 2.79% rate of return, and but of course, the interest rate reflects risk. So they you know, they have their financial policies, procedures, and I respect them. I mean, they're trying to be financial stewards, but we might say, wow, that's pretty you know, that's pretty conservative. We'll just have to take a look at that. We are, I think, we're not really in a position to be our own treasurer at this point. But I think within a year, we decided that we wanted to, then we could start looking at that very seriously. But I think I'd wait until we get through the accounting software and we focus really on our business. So we're trying to build annual savings contributions to over $1 million annually to fund our long-term cost replacement of capital assets. However, we will have operating expenses and capital repair and replacement ongoing. And some of those are a real challenge, especially in water work. Staff built a cash flow model that currently goes out 30 years. Using that model and assumptions that are built into that model, we can look ahead and we see we have a shortfall to fund the replacement of our capital assets in about 10 to 15 years, depending on the life and the cost of the assets. And that's what I think that's what we're most concerned about, is trying to address that now. We have a limited tax general obligation debt payment, $83,672 for 2024. And so the primary lines of business that we're focused on are the marine and growing guest moorage, both daily seasonal, economic development, and existing lines of business such as parking and fuel, and projects that support our responsibility as a transportation hub. And hopefully that improves everybody's quality of life within the region, but also generates significantly more income for the port. So in summary, we prioritize first and foremost always safety of life and property. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we maintain continuity of operations. And third, and very importantly, the creation of new economic opportunities. Open to questions. And again, this is a preliminary, and there are a couple of some really critical things that we don't have that we need to have that data.
To plug that in, yeah.
To give you like what might be a range in terms of what we can or can't
right,
do.
Right.
So it is a pretty conservative, we think it's a pretty conservative budget currently, but mm-hmm. we're going to fine tune that much more and scrub it.
Yeah.
I think we need time to digest it and come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I just wanted to point out too on the operating expenses, because we did do a zero and built up our budget, we really looked at things that have not been addressed or looked at in many years. One example is our water heater. The electricians couldn't even believe the picture that was sent them, had to come and look at it. I don't know how it's still lasting. So we made the decision to do it this year rather than budget for it, because everybody needs a hot shower, you know, coming off the boat. And so that's the kind of thing we're looking at. We have been, maintenance staff has been very good about keeping things running and keeping things going with what we have. And
we simply just can't go any longer with some of these things without having it impact the customers. And so we really had to look at that. We may have to weigh it as the years as the year goes on to make sure we have the revenue to cover it. Of course, we want to be profitable, but there, when you defer things for so long, you know, you making up that time is very difficult. So we're in that kind of a situation where we just have to make, you know, do what needs to be done. And that's kind of the budget that we talked about and discussed with those that know. And it was very enlightening. And thank you, Tori, for being a part of that and letting us know some of the difficulties that we've been kind of... Yeah, you're very inventive. You know, you're very good at what you do. And so I just wanted to point that out. And the travel, that is... ensuring that not only new staff, but the commissioners, everybody is, you know, we have a lot of new staff. There's some that are old. I'm one of the older ones, and I've been here 2 years. older by how long I've been here. And so, you know, there is a lot to learn with it, and we want to be able to make good decisions and make sure we're compliant. So we built a lot into that. Are we going to go to all of those? It depends on how our revenue shakes out, which we have a lot of work to do there, and we've had a lot of discussion on how can we improve the guest margin, seasonal margin, what our business practices are, and really putting it down in a strategic business plan that's formal and that all of us can go to and be all be on the same page and be in alignment. So, you know, we're excited for that, and I just wanted to let you know that there was a lot of work in going into that, and we know that, you know, some of you may point out and say, well, why would they budget for, you know, negative net operating income? It's because we have things that we need to have done, but we are going to do the work to improve our revenue any way we can. And that's a very serious thing for us. And we have a lot of ideas and things that just the new software that we're going to be developing will allow us to capture customer information in order to reach back out to people. Everything has been written, handwritten, and so we don't have a good group to you know, target market or say, come back to the port, you know, and
we've got 10 spaces this weekend coming up or something.
Right. There, it's really been being able to, none of that.
Not to data.
And so by having that, we're really excited because we could, you know, shoot out text messages. We could have update all the customer data on the guest marge. We're okay on the permanent, but it's the guest that really has been lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, being able to have a customer portal where people can put in their information so it's easier for them when they come to check in. So there's a lot of that kind of thing going on this year. So it's like, you know, spending money to make money. So I just wanted to put that out there on top of what Greg said, because really, you know, it isn't our plan to, you know, continue to just raise rates for the raising rates. It is, you know, we have to have charged, you know, the average. We don't want to be too high. We want to be, you know, where we feel is comfortable and enough to allow us to keep doing our business. So.
Well, we have, it's not, you know, it's not reflected here, but we're going to have to pursue other avenues of stuff for revenue. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
And we have to go, we're going to have to pursue appropriations. It takes years to do that, but I think we're at a situation where, especially for capital money, which I think is what we're really confronted with, is a shortfall in terms of long-term capital, and how are we going to get there? So. Every time we get grants and we get an appropriation, maybe get appropriation. Bremerton was successful. It is Bremerton. And they do have a little bit different situation than we have. But I think on the grant end, if we start spending money, we can leverage that pretty aggressively. We, you know, but even trying to spend the money has turned out to be far more challenging than I ever would have envisioned to build a bathroom, you know. It's a different world, but, you know, we do other things too. So we, you know, just as an example, we have these environmental mitigation requirements for National Fisheries Service for in-water work, which is a total change in the goalpost for everybody. Yep. And we were able to partner with the county. We got a letter from Director of Public Works, Andy Nelson, basically saying, hey, we're willing to give you guys the mitigation credits for the stormwater, or assign those whatever mitigation credits you qualify for the project right down the road here that they're doing, you know, right in front of the Ale House on Ohio. So those are kinds of things which, when we do the calculation, now we have to, Army Corps had told us verbally when we met with them as Department of Ecology, hey, those should qualify for mitigation credits, right?
Right.
So we still have to go through the whole process of working with them, but that's, you know, that's a significant savings for us. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, when we first budgeted to do those projects, we thought, oh, no big deal. This is going to be, you know, we thought it was going to be actually a really simple project. And then everything changed in terms of the regulatory environment. Yeah. So something like this, I hope that this will convert into something that will be acceptable to the regulatory agencies. It should. And it's the gift that keeps giving because of stormwater.
Yep.
And so we're going to have to come up with other approaches to be able to save and reduce our capital exposure.
Yeah.
And any money that we can get in that we can come in and change the, whether it be appropriations, we get that, but at least get the ball rolling on that and then pursue that steadily. And then, and the grants, of course, like you said. So I think that we've looked at all the different sources of funding. There's some other opportunities. They're specific to what you're trying to accomplish. If we're trying to do commercial development, you know, we can apply for the KPFD money.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually would be an excellent candidate for that.
That's public facility. Yeah.
Right.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah. Kids have public facility district. So whether we get it or not, you can't count on it. That's part of the problem with a lot of these grants. And we're not the only ones that are having a tough time with the grants, because we talked to the Recreation Conservation Office grant managers and all the other ports, and they're all in the same boat trying to figure out, you know, they get a boat launch, they get a grant for it, and then all of a sudden they have tremendous mitigation credits they have to pay in addition to, mm-hmm. and you're capped on the grant at 25% of the grant is the most that RCO will let you pay towards environmental mitigation.
Right.
So for example, if we have a $100,000 project and we project $280,000 in the new mitigation requirements. It's just out of control, as far as we're concerned.
It's totally flopped.
And we have partnered with a lot of ports. We wrote letters. I mean, there was over 200,000, I think, people that submitted a letter to
National Marine Fisheries.
To National Marine Fisheries Service for the, so they were going to have a public hearing. So it's clearly a major problem.
Yeah.
And I think thing is, in this region, for some reason, it started in this region.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the rest of the country is not happy that it's even got, you know, like this is even being entertained.
Mm-hmm. They're hoping it doesn't come their direction.
Well, everybody, that's exactly what they're worried about. So, yeah. But here we are, we're in it. And so we're hoping that if we could partner with the county, partner with other people, get some other programs going, but we're really going to have to really maximize, I think, external sources for funding from the state.
I think one thing that's beneficial in regarding Kingston itself, we designated hub by Puget Sound Regional Council. So the Puget Sound Regional Council has given us this, you know, hey, you are a major transportation hub. And so therefore, we're hopeful that designation will help us be able to, you know, keep the marina facilities, et cetera, and so forth.
Yeah.
We can apply for some grants
through that.
Correct.
But we have to have, a lot of times we have to have a partner sponsor.
Yep.
Because there's 12 ports in Kitsap County.
Yeah.
So we have to have the county, they have to be a partner with us. We have to have the Kitsap Economic Development Authority, they have to be a partner with us to even entertain or apply for these grants.
Yeah.
So they have to prioritize who they're going to choose for winners or losers. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we could just do it ourselves. Like for the faster, yes, you can go to the Federal Transit yep. Authority.
Right.
So for some things, we would definitely be able to qualify for that. So we have to look at that throughout each of the assets, what they will qualify for all the different sources of funding. And so we have a pretty comprehensive list now. I'd say it's, turned over just about every rock. Now we have to go and pursue each and every one of those,
yeah.
put a whole program together on Grant App.
But that letter is a huge step in the right direction.
Yes, it is. Yes. Congratulations.
It was really, I was really happy. Yeah. I really appreciate both Commissioner Rolfes and Andy Nelson stepping up.
Yeah.
I think that was a big thing for the community.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Thanks for the comment that we have a chance to really review and think about all the implications.
I appreciate that too.
I did have a couple of kind of specific questions. One is, when will we see proposed rates for 2024?
I would say, I hope we have it next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So still during October?
Ideally.
Okay, early November. Got it.
Latest would be early November.
Okay.
Right, yeah, we've had that. We've had that problem before.
Yeah.
I think last year that happened too, so yeah.
Yeah, good habit.
Yep.
So a second question, just for understanding. Under operating expense, we have commissioner expense, compensation and benefits, and then travel and training. And I'm just trying to figure out when commissioners travel to a WPPA conference, does that show up under travel and training mm-hmm. or commissioner expense?
Comes up under, I believe, they break it up.
I think it's
broken into the two different account codes.
So the travel part of it is under travel and training, and the conference itself would be under the commission. So okay. like the registration.
Oh, commission expense is okay. the, yeah. yeah.
Because the
right.
Auditors have us break that out.
Break out the travel. Yeah.
yeah.
Yep, yep.
And the other question, thank you. That makes sense.
Okay.
And the other question I have was earlier on you mentioned exactly how you framed it or phrased it, but that would ultimately be about economic development. And I guess the question I have, because I don't really feel like we've talked about it much, is whether the focus is on economic development for the port's ability to replace assets, et cetera, or economic development that impacts the rest of the community.
Well, I would say both. I mean,
that's
yeah.
what I'd say.
Okay, but are you seeing the one as the solidifying the asset replacement process as being the singular economic development? I mean, is that for the port to be effective? At what point does our impact on the rest of the community come? We never talk about that. And so I'm interested.
I think we have talked about that.
Well,
yeah.
not in an extensive, like, what are we doing, how are we
doing,
So I'm just kind of wondering how.
Well, I guess that's a commission question. Do you think that replacing the marina and preservation of the marina is important to the economic development of the
But I think there's a lot of other things that we do that are important to the economic development and vitality of this community. So I think the whole question of the capital improvements that we're talking about and, you know, real estate development. I'm very interested in the question of what are the ripple effects for the rest of the community. And I don't think that's something you can answer in 13 seconds.
What are the ripple effects to the rest of the community? And I'm not getting what your question is.
We're getting ready to build a hotel, restaurant, retail down below, etc. What is the ripple effect of all of that development on the rest of Kingston?
We want an economic development study on a hotel and
the restaurant.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not as worried about a study as I am about at least a good conversation, you know.
Okay, well, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so.
Then usually, you know, usually you're prompting, you know, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Right, what is the benefit of it? And so usually you're going to commission, you know, a study or look at it.
Well, I think we've talked before too, the whole reason for going into the economic development is because we lack the current revenue streams.
Yep.
So we know we need to grow in order to do that, and we've had extensive community involvement in kind of that decision, the discussion. And so we just need to make sure that what the project is presented or phased in a way that we can afford to do so with either grants or, you know, some means so that it's phased so we get some income in order to continue to move forward with the project. We always keep the community in, you know, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's,
yeah.
We know that we're the driving force for Kingston community, and so, but at the same time, we don't want our current assets to falter.
Yep.
I think it's both.
Yeah, it is.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But
great
one
jobs,
is helping the other.
It's definitely not one or the other.
Right.
No,
it's both.
No, it has to be both.
I mean, the question is, what, you know, the commissioners, you know, commission, what do you want to pursue? So we have in our comprehensive scheme of harbor improvements, on the last page, you know, near the last page, we have a whole
list
of opportunities.
Right? Opportunities.
Yes. So the direction's been, hey, we want to try to pursue a hotel and restaurant, and that was in place even before I think you guys were certainly in there.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's, you know, if there could be, you know, you look at new opportunities and say, well, between these opportunities, cost benefit, what do you want to do? If you give staff direction, we're going to pursue what you want us.
Mm-hmm.
If you have questions that we need to answer for you to be able to make those decisions,
mm-hmm.
or you want to change course, then need to know that. I mean, that would
but
be
these
good.
Yeah. These were things that came out in community meetings that the community
right.
actually specifically asked in the past over many years, saying these are the things we want to see in our
mm-hmm.
community. This is what we think we need. And when we had all those conversations with the businesses too, the same thing, they were saying, you know, just do something. We are dying on the vine here. We need bodies to come here and patronize our businesses
mm-hmm.
and right.
The impetus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So when can we expect to have another conversation about the draft budget?
We are next work session we could
okay.
Or I think that makes sense, yeah.
Weekend.
Okay.
And that's sooner than the next regular session, so we'll have a couple work sessions. And
yep.
Yeah, we're patiently waiting for the rest of the information, and then once we have it, we expect to have the final at the November.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's early.
Could you reiterate, because we are changing the meeting schedule.
Oh, yeah.
When the next...
Public meeting, or...
When the next
well,
work
even
session.
Work session, yeah.
I don't know.
Chris has that.
Shall we come back to that, Chris?
There's a second
and
the fourth.
I can tell you it's probably the 31st.
Because next week is a conference.
Canceled, yes. So it'll be October 31st, that Tuesday.
Okay, so we'll do the 24th.
Will not be 24th has been canceled.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
The 24th has been canceled. Next meeting will be on the 31st.
Oh, right.
I may not be able to update the calendar on the website currently.
Yeah, there is a glitch in the calendar, I think, isn't there? Yeah.
And it got worse, so.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm super excited about that. We're going to put under construction on that website, I think.
Yeah, right.
It's
that
good.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Good.
So we had a problem with WordPress, and I converted over when you click on Google Calendar, if that's what you want to be notified for these meetings. It goes 7 hours back, and we can't get the time frame to change it over. It's a bug, and of course Google doesn't want to work with WordPress or Microsoft and Apple, and they all don't want to. So we didn't know or understand this, so if you wanted to be notified of these meetings and you clicked on Google Calendar, you're going to get 7 hours, you're going to be 7 hours late to the, or early to the meeting.
And we just found this out.
So we, yes, we did not, I did not understand that. We, and we probably should have tested it maybe way years ago or whatever, but I don't know how long it's been going.
Never come up.
No, because our two calendars that we see,
yes.
That I see,
if you look
are
right.
Correct.
The court website calendar, it literally says, it's only when you subscribe to another
version
of the calendar, when it exports it out to that in mm-hmm. whatever platform, it's not converting.
I wonder when we move our clocks back that it'll be
well, it'll be worse. It'll be a different time. So it'll be 8 hours. It'll be 8 hours this time.
So go to the website.
So it's,
or
the
call.
Website is fine.
Call.
Yeah, they're 1 o'clock or 6:30. This week, this month is 6:30, next month it's 1 o'clock.
So we're yeah. disabling that as soon as possible because
I can't
it spent a disproportionate amount of time trying to explain why you were off on the time. You know,
it'll get better. It was a great day.
We actually want people to attend. We appreciate it. We're not trying to.
We're surprised you're here.
Yeah. It was late this morning. It took me 2 hours to figure out where it was coming from.
Where are we now?
We're a public comment.
So, do you have any further financial reports that you want to go over?
Okay. I can make it. I'll make it really quick. So looking at year-to-date financials for September 2023, the net operating revenue is $2 million. Total operating expenses prior to depreciation are at $1.84 million, resulting in net operating income before depreciation of $170,583. Total net income or loss, which includes other income and expenses such as property taxes, interest income expense, is a net income of $13,925. Mm-hmm. Cash and equivalents are at $2.73 million. Our bond, the balance of our bond is at $688,000. So all in, we have a cash balance of 2.07, including debt, and that's an increase of $224,605 year to date.
Great.
Okay. Good. Thank you for walking through that.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
Can I just talk really fast?
Yeah, great.
Sometimes talking really fast is good.
There you go.
Any questions about that, Laura?
No, thank you.
Got it. Okay, well, that takes us back to our second public comment period. And again, address the commission regarding any item of court business, whether it's on the agenda or not. Start by giving your name.
Sure, my name is Joel Hansen. I had a couple questions about the hotel and restaurant. Does the port plan to own and operate those businesses?
The port won't operate it. The port could, as Holt would like to own it, as much as possible. We don't have the wherewithal to build it and own it outright currently. I mean, we don't have the funding for that. The difficult thing is the more that we use other people's money, then the benefit transfers and leaves the community potentially, unless we have local investors that would keep the money funneling through Kitsap County or at least the region. So the more you use other people's money, then they reap the reward. So we could always go with a ground lease. So if the commission decided, hey, we feel that this is important, but we're not going to use our capital, we might use it, or we might say, well, put it towards the hotel, but not the restaurant. There could be all sorts of different scenarios. But I do know, like, if you just do a ground lease, yeah, you bring in cash. They're usually not structured so that you really get the lion's share of the benefit. It's a premium site. I think it's one of the best sites in Puget Sound. But you also have to go and look to the market when you're ready to go. So if there's a lot of pressure that, you know, sometimes the problem is people feel a lot of pressure to do a deal. And it becomes a political reality. And that's not the right reason why you do it. You don't do bad deals because they're forever, seemingly. And then the other thing, once you transfer it over, those assets that can then get rolled through portfolio after portfolio, it's like somebody buying your mortgage. They can just keep rolling it, and all those transfers don't really add value to the community. But But there are, you know, there are, it is, goes back to, you can quantify some of the economic development aspects, you know, and what's the advantages of it. But if we can, it would be better either to do it, we could do it in a state, you know, stage it and go through different phases, or we can look and see if the KPFD, if they want to participate, to what extent. So there's, we're going to have to look at a number of the financing, but we have to really get the, we don't really have all the information we need. We have to get the feedback from the county for the free out. And then we have to really go through a really thorough construction, you know, estimate. So we're working on that right now. But I, you know, ideally we would like to own it, but we would not operate. Usually, you know, ports don't operate these assets. We're not experts at it. Marinas are like, you know, so a lot of ports, they really are landlords. A lot of them, they don't operate assets. Most ports, though, that do have marinas, they operate the marinas. But when you look at marine terminals, for example, a lot of times they don't operate the marine terminal. They've sort of moved away from that. I think that it's better to own the assets as much as possibly for the good of the public. And then you have more control over what happens with those assets too. Use other people's money. They're not gonna say we want to look like that. They're not gonna say we want that. We're gonna do a max build out potentially. You know, it just depends what you get for partners. So not all money is created equally too. You know, sometimes commissions, they don't want foreign money, for example, but sometimes there's a lot of money offshore and they'd love to have investment in the United States of America. So again, these things have to be fleshed out, but yeah, we would like to try to at least own as much as possible so that the benefit stays within the community. That's the overall mindset.
And I think the other part of benefit staying in the community is that the more control we have over it, the more control we have of what actually goes there, what happens, what's the tone of it, the feel of it, and so on and so on. Don't want to give that away.
You got another question?
You answered my follow-up question about how you plan to operate something like that. Obviously, you're not planning to. So why wouldn't you look at, you know, commercial space or rentable space instead of a permanent business that an outside entity would have primary ownership over, you know, reap benefit to the town of Kingston?
Mm-hmm. So we did look at that. I discussed that with the commission early on, but going back to Laura, Commissioner Grunwald's, you know, comments, when they did, when they looked and they did some of the planning early on, and they, I think they interviewed like over 160 individuals, they did a survey, then they entered, and then they, there was a follow-on survey, they interviewed people. And basically when they did, like, you know, they did different representations of the feedback, but they did like, you know, cloud, you know, word diagram. It was clear that they wanted a restaurant was number one and a hotel was basically number two. What you're saying, though, is definitely a possibility. I talked to the commissioners about, do you want, because job creation, so ports do three things by statute. They do economic development, however you want to define that, is, can be squishy sometimes, but economic development, job creation, public access, per statute. So sometimes you look at job creation and you'll say, I'd rather have a really great employer here. Right, and so you could do, you know, we talked about like REI, they sold their building, they built it over Bellevue, they sold it, there's none cash. People were looking at decentralizing during COVID. Maybe they would like to have an office kind of combination retail or something that right here as a hub. So that would be something we could have pursued, but there was a lot of movement and energy towards this restaurant hotel. So that's what they felt the community wanted. So that's, I said, okay, we'll pursue that to the bitter end, and at least we'll be positioned if the market and the kind of the financial environment is conducive to it. But yes, that's another option. You could get employers in here for sure, or it could be a combination. You could say there's a hotel, but we're going to do something else with some of the other assets. Yeah, and as we see with the Top and Hill properties, like those could also be something we have to consider. Those might be like, hey, it may not be the right environment to do a huge development, but now if we see that gets rezoned, which is what the county's put in all of their alternatives for the Kingston area, for this UGA, then we could start looking at, okay, now we can do, it's zone residential currently, so then we could look at doing something on that property, and that would open it up. So that, but at the time when we started pursuing this, that wasn't an option, and they told, you know, here we are at 2024 almost, they said, you gotta wait till 2024 before you could ever consider a rezone from residential to commercial.
Right.
Also, the hotel, if we get a hotel there, they might only want one floor. We don't know. This is all, you know, just very conjecture right now as to what it's going to look like, who's going to be in it. We don't know at this point. So it could very well be partially that. We don't know.
I think another thing that factors into my thinking is that work patterns are changing. I just read today that 40% of people who used to work full-time in an office are now working at least part of that remote. And what does that do? What does it do to parking, but more, what does it do to the need for office space? And, or the type of office space. And so I've got a little place in my head that says, wait and see until we know that a little bit more. And, which relates to the whole question of what does the hotel look like, and,
sure,
and so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
Yep. So.
Yep.
Did you have, do you have some thoughts? I mean, you know, employers, people that are interested in looking around?
Just I don't. It's just, you know, obviously with the intent on, you know, benefiting community of Kingston, you know, the thought of a multinational conglomerate hotel chain, you know, squeezing you out of ownership over a decade, and how that wouldn't benefit Kingston is the first thing that comes to mind. A restaurant, you know, the food and beverage business is volatile. Is that a sustainable long-term business? You know, just look at everybody out here struggling, but, you know, just as someone that lives here, you know, understanding the need for, you know, new places to shop, new places to eat, you know, a lack of obviously places to stay, like hotel wise.
Right.
Also, like, I understand the drive there, but you know, maybe we need to educate the community more on what those decisions mean to, you know, the long term benefit to the community here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I got
thank you.
That's
thank
great.
You.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You. Other comments, Aaron?
Yeah, Aaron Powell. How dependent is the port on the potential revenue from a hotel, restaurant, a capital investment? I heard a lot of conversation around challenges around revenue and income for the port. I also have a question about the deferred maintenance. Is that in the draft, what you plan to maintain or update or replace or whatever? Is that in the draft budget already?
Yes.
It is?
Yeah. I mean, we're replacing as much as, you know, pretty much that, well, when we see things that are going to happen, we don't want to wait till it breaks. So we're going to replace the fuel pumps, we're going to replace the hot water heater, things that are, like, critical to the continuity of operations.
So your revenue potential, or hotel, whatever it might end up being, let's just use hotel as a better word.
Yeah.
Is anticipated to help fix, if you will, or meet the challenge income revenue.
Yep.
Challenge that the port has.
Yes.
That necessitates then much, much more ownership by port, right? Because, like you said, if you give the ownership away,
correct,
you also give the funding potential, and your revenue is going to substantially decrease. So you kind of got a catch-22 there. The port really doesn't have the flexibility if you're building your model to be dependent on that facility.
Oh.
You don't have the flexibility to give it away, so to speak.
Right.
Well, you're going to need to retain it.
I get your point.
Yeah, you're going to need that revenue. You just built it into your model. And I'd be real interested in hearing and seeing what your business model looks like. What's your projection for that? You talked about a little bit about development of that. Is that coming up soon? Or?
Yeah, so we just met and had a strategic planning process, and what we're doing is pulling some ideas on every, we've been doing kind of some line of business reporting that we haven't necessarily brought to the commission, but more internal to management, just to see where all of the funds are going. We have this huge park, right, that, you know, parks don't make any
money, right?
And it's enjoyed by everybody, and that's great. We have events that, you know, the Christmas in the Cove is wonderful, but it doesn't bring any, you know, income to us, and same with the 4th of July, but it's community, you know, there's that mission margin type of thing that we're looking at, like, you know, what can we provide to the community, but how can we also continue to pay? So we realized very early on that we have to look at external funding. And that's why we're aggressively going after some grants and other avenues to replace the marina, keep that part going, so that we can, you know, move forward with some of the business things we're looking at is our parking. You know, we, as Greg said, you know, we don't monitor it all the time. It's not our thing to want to give tickets to everyone.
You mean
I gotta be very careful with my
what car do you drive?
Right.
Not anymore.
Right. But you know, there's a lot of ideas on, okay, what can we do? What are we missing? What events can we bring in? What can we do for the community, for fundraising and different things that we haven't really explored? And we do know that we'll definitely need to look at appropriations and any kind of grant funds that we can get in order to maintain what we have currently, because it's a heavy lift. And we know that.
Right.
But the types of things that are built into our budget are those kinds of things, like, you know, the things that Tori would deal with, like the. Literally, he walked in the office and said, "You think, should we get a water heater?" It's like, "Well, how old is it?" "Well, it's only not worked a couple times. I think it's pretty, you know." And he's on standby for a water heater. That's where we're at in some cases. And so we just want to make sure that you know, things are running good. People come and have a very good experience, and how can we utilize our assets, not just for a park, but for other things that keep people coming in, you know, and that's where the whole idea of a hotel, and, you know, we've had a restaurant there at one point many years ago, and when it was taken down, it just wasn't rebuilt again, so, and it was successful from what I understand.
It was very successful on both sides of the street.
Yes, and where Kiwanis Park is, right directly across the street, that was another Dickinson's, I think.
No, it was Kingston Inn.
Oh, Kingston Inn was very successful too. So, you know, it's just, we have a lot of those things, you know, a dry stack storage, you know, for some of the smaller boats, you know, or things like that. I don't know how much I should give out, Greg, but I mean, we've had a lot of
we talked about that many times.
How can we improve what we have, you know, and do some dredging to, you know, bring in some bigger, a lot of that kind of stuff. So
there's ways that we can improve our financial performance. We can go after certain lines of business that we've been on strange to
course. That's what I would call business plan.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
Yes. So, yeah. Unfortunately, you may have to shed something.
Yes.
It just may be the reality.
And
right.
I think
the
deferred maintenance that we're referring to in the short term that are included in, like, say, the projected budget for 2024 are the smaller things that have been avoided.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the water heater.
No. Okay, but you do have capital.
So, yeah.
But we have
pay for those. We just know that in the next 15 to 20 years, the marina itself is going to need to be progressively replaced along the way, and we're looking ahead to say, how are we going to fund that? Because those are going to be big expenses that, you know, what we're currently looking at is our reserves are not going to cover when they're looking at what was the Kent or Des Moines replacement. It was double.
Oh, Des Moines was double.
It was $60 million.
Yeah.
And that's why they're opting to not do the coverage, because it was double what it should have been. Because they were going to do their coverage. $60 million.
Yeah. What really opened our eyes was when we put together the cash flow model, and it goes out for projected for 30 years, and layering in that replacement, you know, of the life cycle of the assets that we have, you know, the breakwater, the docks, different elements. And that's a big lift, you know, how are we going to do that? And so that's when all the discussion really started about, you know, rowing and, you know, the development and also the community, because...
Well, we looked at it. We can't tax our way out of it. You can't sell enough assets unless you close the port. It's just not how it is. So if you look at the financials, you can't do it. Okay. You're not going to have to grow your way out of it somehow. Where are you going to grow? Obviously we can't just keep going with permit mortgage. You can only pay so much, only with so many people. We also know that the boating community is going to be changing over the next 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. So you look ahead for that. What does that really mean? It's not easy to get your arms around it when we ask like Paul Sorensen or people that are economists that they look at this data for decades, right? But they said, hey, we can see that the demographics are going to change. The boats have changed, you know, so we look at the water depth in the marina. Do we have the right asset for the future too? So then we looked at, okay, what does it cost for dredging? We're breaking out, we're having the breakwater reviewed. I think we're going to have Mott McDonald, but Shane's coming over. We're going to do a walkthrough of the breakwater. We're looking at why, you know, what's happening with the breakwater over time. So since I've been here 5 years, we did some studies on resedimentation, but that also included actually looking at the dredge, you know, you can see the plumes and just studying this, right? But we had engineers looking at it, not me anecdotally saying, I can see there's a plume of sand, so we're going to have it surveyed. So there's some real big ticket items that you can really get your arms around, the breakwater, the seawall, then you have utilities, and you look at the docks, and then you look at the cover.
That brings me to my next point, question, I guess, which is, you've got those big ticket items, those big capital investments, mm-hmm. the port's going to need to do in order to stay viable as a port, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're out of business. The docks go away, and the breakwater goes away, and you're done.
Yeah.
You're also looking at a big capital investment, potentially, if you want to own whatever you build that economic development piece is. Mm-hmm. Does the port have the financial capability to take all of that on? Because you're not talking 15 or 20 years. You're talking about some of these need to be done very soon.
No,
docks
we don't.
Need some work now.
No, we
the
yeah.
filings are falling, you know, we got filings that are challenged, let's just say. You've got the breakwater that's got some challenges. And we're taking on yet another capital investment because you're dependent on it. You're going to have to own it in order to get the revenue source that you think you need to grow and fund into the future. Is that too much? I'm coming from a place
where very well could
we spent $360 million on a software upgrade.
Right.
It was too much.
Right.
It was too damn much.
Yeah.
Right? PeopleSoft?
No. Workday.
Yeah.
Oh, Workday.
Well, no, agreed. So, and your point, Aaron, totally. So, point is well taken. And I'm not saying, and we know that we can.
I see a lot of, you know, Mary, you mentioned economic development. I'm interested in, when I talk to the business people in downtown corridor, they talk about, we don't have enough people here.
Mm-hmm.
The people getting off the ferry, they're gone.
Because there's nothing to keep them here.
Nothing to keep them here. Mm-hmm. But there's also not enough people living here.
But there is 700 or how many?
751.
So what are we doing in
order to
support and
improve that? Mm-hmm. Are we helping the community developers develop things?
So we did propose, you know, I mean, first of all, we're 3.5 million, let's just say this roughly, right? And we are dependent on the county, whether we like it or not. I mean, we are absolutely dependent on the county because we're unincorporated Kitsap County, we're not incorporated. So what we've tried to do is say, okay, where do we see some of these significant gaps, right, that are pretty obvious, right? So the stormwater, that's a good start. We propose, okay, we're actually reviewing and drafting up a proposed interlocal agreement with the county where we would pay for part of a permitting full-time employee. We can't afford to pay for a whole person. That would then prioritize projects for the port and within the port district. I can't really go outside the port district, but that's a good enough looked at the footprint of Port District.
Covers Kingstown.
That would help everything in downtown, so that people, when they're looking, because permitting's a killer, so people would look at that, it would be very helpful. So there's some things we can do.
Especially when they get a permit. It feels a little bit like you're pulling the string just too damn tight. That's what it feels to me that way. Mm-hmm. It feels like you're talking about some huge capital potentials that, having just gone through or still in the middle of a remodel that cost me 30% more than it was estimated to cost, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling here. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really uncomfortable about it as a citizen of this community. I'm really uncomfortable about that feeling that I have around that.
Well, I think
a man sooner or later is going to snap.
Yeah. I don't want to overextend. I mean, we have very limited resources. We have to be very careful, and we can't make a mistake. I mean, we just don't have the wherewithal. We can't afford lawsuits. There's all sorts of things that we're at risk for. So we've tried everything we can to reduce our downside risk. I think then that's why I say, like, even if people start feeling pressure to do a deal, that's completely, if anything, you should walk away unless you're so confident and you mitigate your risk through contractual agreements and try to look at different ways and very good consultants. Otherwise, I don't recommend it. I don't want to be a loser, and I don't want to, but I have to figure out with the team, with everybody, what is the path forward. We could do other things just to hopefully generate and improve our cash position and do things. We started really aggressively going after reducing our capital costs on these projects. So I thought we were doing a pretty good job. We were partnering with Friday Harbor. We reduced our cost for those floats by like 40 to 50% of the cost of what we got in the private market rate just going out. And we were kind of going to do it ourselves, build it one dock at a time, and then move it over. That would have been a big help. All of a sudden this calculator comes out from NIMS. So, even when I think I have, we're getting some solutions, but I'm sensitive about overextending because we will not be able to build this full project, not even close. We have nowhere near the wherewithal. We don't have the taxing authority. If we get the KPFD to participate, that would probably be a significant, we could probably do one of the buildings successfully. Do we want to get foreign other money come in here, be attracted, because they might say, hey, we have a hotel or the restaurant, then they have a partner that comes in, and we do a ground lease for the other, for let's say the restaurant. Restaurants are very, very risky. Yeah. This would have a certain amount of residential associated with it, too. It's the only way that, the other way that, only possible thing that we consider. Is to have some condominiums on the top floor or somewhere within the. So you have to look at that's what we have to know kind of what our costs are looking at, and they've gone up and up and up. Cost of borrowing has gone through the roof, so we can't borrow. We get okay now with interest rates going up. That actually is good for public agencies because we're usually perceived, but we don't have huge bonding capacity, so that. We can't really leverage that. So the thing is to either somehow get appropriations combined with grants and participation from from the county or KPF, the public.
You still have to participate, if I understand grants right?
Not all of them, but it depends. It varies. But we can always, and then there's always the ground lease alternative. That's just a cash to the port. You structure so it's just an additional cash cow. And if it brings in, the commission decides, and people decide, again, not all money is created equal when you're doing those leases. So, but there's no way we can bite that off. It's $25 million plus, and we're $3.5 million.
50% more than that.
Yeah, no.
Right, yeah.
Are you done yet?
Factor.
It does go back to what other opportunities do we want to pursue. Right. And now, because it's been so delayed, like the Top Hill property might be something that we could do, that we could just take on and do something with much more easily, and it would be scaled appropriately to the size of port we have now. So,
a previous commission actually did a report right before I came on commission about what to do with those properties. And so we do have a study already in place as options as to what can happen. So, you know, that's a good thing.
And some of those are much more, you know, are pretty
more economical.
Pretty likely to make money. I mean, like cottage rentals are, have them.
The dry stack storage.
Dry stack storage, definitely. But they don't have a perception of creating much economic public benefit, let's say. That's why people love parks, but parks are a loser. That's why you get taxed in order to be able to fix parks. But right. We have a lot of park space. We have a huge amount of park area that we carry on books, and they're just are a cost to us to maintain them, you know, chase people out of there that shouldn't be in there, you name it. So it takes us labor hours. It just is. So yeah. That's one of those things, but we don't have a park district. You're sitting in it. And they don't want to take that park, those parks on, right? So it's one of those things. So what do you pursue? There's a limited number of things, but we should be able to do better with our existing line of business. We need to use technology for sure and get current with it so we can manage it without lots more overhead and staff. Just have a lot of, you know, decent software, honestly.
Just don't go work day.
We did.
No. We're not. Yeah. But we did research it, and it's funny because so many other courts and their marinas, they adopted software, and the software is not doing what they needed to do, and it can't handle the fuel. And so they end up having multiple softwares. You get software that can't do payroll. I mean, it's just funny. There's just, you know, there's not necessarily a perfect mousetrap out there, but when we looked at this, and we looked pretty thoroughly at it, it looks like it's going to be a pretty decent software that's not very difficult for people to use, so the users can be pretty effective. Mm-hmm. But we lost, honestly, we don't have all that institutional memory, you know, in terms of having, you know, being able to reach out to customers. It's weird when somebody comes in and goes, I've been coming in here for 25 years, and we can't find them in the system. No, that's just not acceptable.
That's,
you know,
sad.
I recognize you. I remember when you were young. That's kind of a weird dialogue. You know,
right,
but I can't remember.
Too late. Too late.
So we know we can do a little bit better on that. But we do need to take, you know, and it's nice because you can also look and say, well, we could acquire assets as long as we have somebody to lease it out. You know, you could say, well, there's a land banking approach that if we already know we have a cash flow against it and we acquire a piece of property.
She's given us
the hook.
Anyway,
appreciate it. I know what you're saying. I appreciate it, Aaron.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aaron.
Conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other public comment? Okay. Commissioner reports, or have we kind of moved beyond that?
I think we may move beyond that.
I think we should
that.
Go beyond that. We'll do it next month.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't have a staff report.
No. Busy.
Busy. Okay, well, our next regular meeting is Wednesday, November 15th at 1 p.m. here. And with that, I think we're adjourned.
I'll make a motion to adjourn at 8:43.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
No.
Okay.
Very
aye.
Good.
Aye. That's right. Thank you all for coming in.
Okay, let's see. No, do we? So I think I just
thanks
hit.
Thanks for coming.
I just hit stop meeting, huh?
I've heard a little.
I don't know.
Well, I don't want to pause it. I think I hit
hold
stop.
Hold stop down. Hold it down, and that maybe will shut it off.